to you. Tonight, I just want to give just a little brief, reason why that we're going to do this. I'm going to read one verse, John chapter 5, verse 39. The Gospels, of course, are good news. Good news. And there are four Gospels, and they're all similar. John, the Gospel of John, is the least similar in that the other of the three Gospels, and you probably have heard the term synoptic Gospels. The synoptic Gospels are the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And because they are almost exact in the sequence of the stories and the events in the life of Jesus, John's Gospel is not exactly like that. So those first three, you've probably heard someone teaching or preaching mention the synoptic Gospels. That's the first three. But we're talking about, and will for the next however long, talk about all of these Gospels. Four different witnesses to the life of Jesus. Four different accounts from different personalities and different perspectives. And even spoken to different groups of people. But yet, they were so in agreement. Such a harmony there between the messages of the gospel, and I believe that God intended that there would be these four gospels to give the complete message of the gospel that he wanted us to have. And so it's not just a repeat. It is giving a different view, a different perspective on the gospels, and it's all because the message of the Gospels is good news, because it's all about Jesus, about his earthly ministry primarily, and his works, his miracles, and his teachings. And so to read and to study the Gospels is something that's very worthwhile. So we're going to do that for a while on these Wednesday nights. John 5:39. Let's read this verse. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And so there's an admonition here to us all to be searchers of the Scripture, that we spend time. To be a searcher of the Scripture, you have to be more than just a reader of the Bible. We encourage everyone to read the Bible, but to be a searcher of the Scripture is to be someone that's really, really involving yourself in a search, a diligent search to know more about the Lord, to know more about the person of Jesus, to know more about his earthly life, to know more about his kingdom teachings. And that's what we are called to do, search the Scriptures, to be students of the Bible, not just preachers, not just Sunday school teachers, but all of us. We need to give enough time to the Bible, to God's Word, and in particular, we're talking about these four Gospels. Spend some time reading and searching the Scriptures. Amen. It's like a miner that goes into the depth of the earth searching out precious metals. He searches, he looks, and he is anxiously looking for the valuable things that are there that can be extracted and put to use or possibly sold or whatever, so that this can be brought up and brought forth. And so we are searchers. We're also like to have a sense of a hunger and a desire for the Word of God. One of the things that happens whenever a person gets truly born again is they immediately have an interest in God's Word. They immediately want to know more about the Lord, and they want to know the Scripture. So they spend time reading it, studying it, and trying to apply. I remember, and I was very young when I went to Bible school, and I was raised up in church. I had a lot of good teaching and knew, you know, quite a bit about the Bible, I would say, at least average of a kid growing up in church. Went to Bible school, and I realized that I had learned, but a lot of surface things I had learned. I had actually spent a lot of deep effort in searching out the Scripture, and so I was so privileged to sit under some wonderful men of God, of which many of them, most of them, are already passed away, gone to heaven, but men and women of God who taught during those years I was in Bible school and stirred up an interest in my heart to know more and to learn more and to dig out the treasures that are hidden below the surface. And it's what we're all called to do, to search the Scriptures. That's what Jesus said, search the Scripture, for in them you think. Now, the word there, it doesn't mean you hope. It means you show. For in them you do show forth the real, or you reveal the evidence. You show forth the evidence of eternal life. It's revealed to you that this is not a book that's a common book, but it is a spiritual book that was written, divinely inspired of the Holy Ghost. It was God-breathed. And so it is a message for all of us from God Himself that we need to give full attention to, because from it are the words of eternal life. Amen. So the more you learn, the more you search. Now, I don't mean study the Bible like an intellectual, just to know information. I mean study it to hear the voice of God. Study it to know that God can speak to you through the passages of His Word. And oh, the wonderful times to me over the years I've had whenever that I maybe had some need or problem or burden, and maybe I heard someone teaching or someone preaching, or maybe it was just in my own time of reading and studying the Bible that the Lord would speak directly to me concerning my need and my problem. For you see, whenever you have a need, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing if you have a need and you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to look into Your Word. Would You reveal to me answers? Would You reveal to me direction and steps that I need to take, or steps of action that I need to take? Would You show me through Your Word what I should do, and a way to respond to these particular needs that you have in your life? When you turn to the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm going to look to You, and I'm going to look to Your Word, because I know that in Your Word are the words of eternal life, and it can change my life. And for many, many times over the years, it's been like the Word of God has changed my course or altered me somewhat, because I heard something and I knew it was from God, and it affected me so much in my heart and my spirit that I was changed. And so that we search out, that we have this intense longing and desire to know Jesus. And we know if we're going to really learn Him, then we're going to have to spend time with God's Word, spend time with teaching and preaching and with study of the Word of God. And I encourage you to be a student of the Bible and allow God to answer you and give you help. These searches in God's Word, I was thinking about animals like a lion or a bear, that whenever they lose their cubs or their cubs are stolen away from them, that there is an intensity about them to search for their little cubs, or the Scripture calls them their whelps. As a matter of fact, it talks about the fact that, the danger of running into a bear and who's been robbed of their whelps, because they have such power of sense to search them out that if you're anywhere in the proximity, you're in serious danger. Serious danger. They got to thinking about this because, and I read that a dog has 100 times the sense of smell that a human does. A bloodhound, 300 times the sense of smell. But get a load of this. A bear has 7 times the sense of smell that a bloodhound has. So over 2,000 times. They're just a bundle of senses. And they can smell and sense. Did you know, this is crazy, I know, but that a bat has such an amazing sense of and a keenness to sense that they can sense out a literal where the arteries and the blood veins are in any animal or even a human from long distances off. And whenever they come and they attack an animal, even like a cow or a large animal, they never miss. They hit exactly the most prominent of vein or artery. Are y'all getting sick to your stomach? I hope not. I'm just talking about a sense of an ability to sense something out, like a lion or a bear, or that God can put in your heart this longing and this desire. Now, I really believe that it needs to be coupled with prayer, seeking the Lord to give you a sensitivity to truth and to the things of God, but you can develop this hunger and this desire for the things of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So the more time that you spend with God's Word, studying it and searching out the Scriptures, the more of a desire, a hunger that you're going to have. You're going to want more. It's going to become like a spiritual need. I have to do this. This is just something that sustains me and helps me and keeps me. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Of course, this is Jesus himself speaking. These words testify of the Lord. Amen. You've heard preachers talk about from Genesis to Revelation everywhere, even in the minor prophets, all the way through the Scripture. Every book of the Bible speaks of some aspect of the life of Jesus or the ministry of Jesus, something about him. You'll find Jesus from cover to cover when you read the Bible. Amen. If you're reading in Genesis and you're looking for Jesus, you're going to find him because he's there in Genesis. He's in Exodus. He's all the way through the Old Testament. But something about the Gospels are 4 books written, divinely inspired, written by 4 different individuals, 4 distinct personalities, written to 4 different groups of people. And so you get 4 different views, 4 different perspectives about him. So when you bring it all together and you read all about it, him from Matthew through the Gospel of John, then you're going to get this wonderful message. As a matter of fact, the number 4 is the number of completion. The number of completion. So there's not another gospel. Remember when they're in Jude, that Jude says, I intended to write concerning the common this common salvation. I intended to write another gospel, but instead the message that he wrote was a challenge to believers to contend for the faith. And so he didn't do it. It's apparently the Spirit of God stopped him from writing another perspective on the gospel because God had completed it through and was completing it through those 4 messengers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. And they all speak of him. They all testify of the Lord Jesus. And so people who spend time in the Word of God are commended for that interest, and they have. Remember those Bereans, Acts 17 and 11? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, talking about the Bereans. in that they received the word, they were receptive to it, with all readiness of mind, they were eager to hear it, and searched the scriptures daily. There was a daily intensity in them, and they were commended for their love for the scripture. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They literally measured doctrine and what they believed. They made sure that it held up to the principles of the Word of God. If you have a doctrine that is not biblically based, then you need to throw it away. Get rid of it. If it's man's idea or man's philosophy, and it won't hold up to the principles of God's Word. If it's not a Bible principle, and it's not found as you study the Word of the Lord, then you need to search it out and weigh it by God's Word. Many times people say, what do you think about this? What do you think about this that's going on? It's not so important what I think about it as it is what God's Word says about it. And we all need to be students of the Word of God to make sure that it's true. Those in Berea were more noble. They were more honorable than those in Thessalonica because they loved the right thing. They loved the right thing. They loved the Word of God, and so they spent time. They were receptive to the Word of God. They were ready. They were eager to hear the Word of God, and they searched the Scriptures every day, measuring truth and error. Amen. To see whether those things were so. Amen. So we need to spend time. By the way, we need to teach our children the Word of God. That's why that we've challenged those that are working over here among these clubs to make sure that it's not just a fun time. It's okay for kids to have fun, but we want them to learn the Word of God. We want them to learn about the stories of the Bible. We want them to learn them so that principles can be applied from God's Word to their life. Even while they're very young, it can be life-changing for them to get the Word of God in their hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. So each one of the Gospels are like a different colored thread in the whole tapestry of God's Word. When it's all woven together, then it's this wonderful, glorious message of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we are going to spend some time for a while, a few weeks or months or however long the Lord would have us to go, starting with the Gospel of Matthew. And I think that the Lord will honor this effort, and that we will our appetite for God's Word can grow. And I believe that even the Wednesday night service can grow. And as people begin to get a hunger to know more about God and to know more about His Word. Amen. So when we study the Gospels, we're going to get these four different witnesses. Four different witnesses. You know that in a court of law, that it is never established by one witness. It has to be established by more than one witness for it to be an effective witness. That's a Bible principle. Deuteronomy 19 and 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And four is the number of completion. And so we hear the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and when we read it and study it in the Gospels, then we get this message of completion, and we get a fourfold witness of the message of the life of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So all these multiple witnesses who were eyewitnesses, they were independent of each other. They didn't copy off of each other. And that's why that some in some places there seems to be like a little bit of an inconsistency. One person will say this about a story, and another person will say that. And but we'll get to those parts of the Gospels and be able to describe what's going on between these different witnesses, which confirm important truths that we need to know about the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ. But not only that, not only witnesses, but God spoke as holy men of old were anointed, inspired of the Holy Ghost. God spoke through the personalities of them. They didn't just write exact words that the Lord gave them necessarily. It came through them. God chose to use Matthew. God chose to use John and Mark and Luke, each of them coming from a complete different perspective, a complete different background, and a different personality. So you get another viewpoint and another slant on the truth of the gospel and a different perspective from the gospels. And so you hear things a little differently, and that's exactly the way that God wanted it to be, so that we would have this harmony, not the same exactly, but it all would harmonize together beautifully as it all speaks to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to encourage you to read and to be a student of the Bible. And Brother Messer, I was encouraging different ones. The lady Mary Ann that's been visiting, I heard him talking to her about reading the Bible. He pointed her immediately to the Gospel of John, which I normally do that whenever someone is a new Christian, a new convert. Read the Gospels. And he was telling them, read it and then read it again. And then read it again. And read it again. And I could tell on her face that she was feeling pretty overwhelmed by the challenge of reading the Gospels, the Gospel of John, and then reading it again and reading it again. But, you know, the reading of the Word of God is many times we think of it as too much of a labor, as too difficult or too hard. But you can read through the Gospels in not really that much time. Amen. You could read through the Gospels. You could probably sit down and read through the Gospels in an hour, maybe a little more. Read through the four Gospels, unless you're just an extremely slow reader. I'm just saying it's not as difficult as you think. And sometimes we feel like if we've read three chapters that we've really done something. And it is good. It's wonderful to read the Bible. But I'm just saying, you know, spending more time with the Word of God shouldn't be a labor to you. Amen. It should be something that you do because of your hunger. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. For in them you think, or you do reveal or show that you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. You want to know about more about Jesus? Then you read the Bible. And in particular, read the Gospels if you want to know more and more and more about Jesus. Amen. So I trust that you'll read, and if you can, before next Wednesday night, start reading the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And I know that any of you that are thinking right now about Matthew chapter 1, you're thinking about genealogies. Lots of genealogies. Even they are inspired of God and are there for a purpose. Amen. We're gonna get into that next Wednesday night, Lord willing. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the times that we have, Lord, to learn of you. Lord, we thank you for your word. It testifies of you. So all the time that we spend reading it, studying it, Lord, we're just drawing closer to you, learning more about you, gaining new insights and revelation to the life and the ministry of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word, that it will direct our steps. It is a lamp unto our feet. Thank you, Lord, that your word is is a blessing to us, that strengthens us, encourages us, and puts iron in our soul. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that over these coming weeks and months, as we look again and again at this gospel message, that, Lord, that you'll use it, Lord, to change our whole understanding of who you are. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God.